In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Last week, my beloved, was the week of the treasures, and we spoke last week, and we began to speak about how the devil can use both the treasures and the temptations to affect the thoughts of man. And we saw today in the gospel the same thing. The Lord, Satan waited for the Lord Jesus after he was weak and hungry after 40 days of fasting, and he began to tempt him with these thoughts. And we spoke last week about many things about this warfare of mental warfare, the thoughts, the wars and the thoughts. And we said that these thoughts affect everyone. No one's excluded from them. And it affects all areas of our life and to be something we will struggle with for the rest of our life. But we also said that the Lord helps us in these. Like if we remember today, when we read it, the Lord responded to Satan by the words of God, right? From the book of Deuteronomy, from the Old Testament. We also saw that our thoughts can shape who we become. How a person thinks can really affect the person's life, whether they're happy or they're upset or they're angry or they're suffering from like depression or whatever. A lot of this has to do with our mind. So our minds have the power to make the surroundings we're in feel like hell or heaven, again, based on the thoughts. And we spoke last week also about the stages. We said there's the suggestion stage where is an initial thought, and then there's the engagement with this thought. Again, we're speaking about evil thoughts. Then there's the consent, and finally, you know, the action. And we said the origin of these evil thoughts can come from four places. Can come from Satan, can come from the inner dialogue, or can come from others' suggestions, or can come from the senses that we observe from the world around us. Today we'll begin and we'll continue the discussion, and we'll speak about the different types of these intrusive thoughts, and we'll speak about the dangers of these thoughts, and then lastly, how can we remedy them. If you think about the common intrusive thoughts that we get in our mind, the first one is judgment, the thought of judgment. Like you can be sitting in here in the church, you're listening to me speak, and then maybe somebody comes in the church and they have a young child, and the child is running or is making some noise, and immediately we hear this noise and begin to judge. That woman isn't caring for her child. So we begin to judge the lady and say, I didn't do this when I had children. So begin to judge them, right? Or maybe you might come to church and you see somebody come in and you just saw what they posted online the other day and you begin to think to yourself, Bezimma, he's coming here to church after what he posted yesterday or what she posted yesterday. Again, all of these thoughts of judgment in our mind. Also, we begin to judge the people's intentions, right? This is a type of judgment where, you know, somebody says something to me or looks a certain way to me and I begin to judge their intent, not knowing it. But again, this is all in my mind, right? And then from my mind, it can actually transform into how I treat a person, right? So these are the first is the type of judgment. The second intrusive thought is the thought of lust. And this is, again, a lot of it is based on, yes, it can be from the inner dialogue, but it begins from what I observe from the senses. This is why there's such a great danger in, you know, watching things that are inappropriate, whether it's online or on social media or anything. Because all of these images, basically, they're like the inventory of Satan. He allows you to watch them, or he wants you to watch them, so that he can use this against you and you recall these images in times of weakness or in times of vulnerability. So he's making a deposit of these images every time you watch. So the more that one watches these things and observes them, the bigger the inventory Satan has within the heart and within the mind. The question we ask, do I really want Satan to have that much inventory against me? We don't, right? We don't want to. So it's so imperative. If I'm struggling from this, the first thing I really need to focus on is to reduce his inventory in my mind. And the first way is to not look at any of these things again. So the lust and the fantasy. The third type of intrusive, common intrusive thought are the daydreams. These are the times where your eyes are open, but your mind is somewhere else completely, right? You can be sitting in class, you can be sitting here listening to the sermon, you can be sitting in the church, whatever it is, and your mind is somewhere else, khalas. And you can be on a journey on your own, all within your thoughts. Sometimes we do this to escape the reality, or to maybe we're bored, so we don't want to be bored, so we entertain ourselves, you know, through our thoughts. Oftentimes, within this, you know, fantasy land that we go in, there are dialogues that happen between me and people I know, and recall dialogues from the past. And sometimes there's like imaginary self-exaltation, where I exalt myself and I make myself really better than who I am and these imaginations. And oftentimes you'll find it's that our weaknesses become those things that we imagine are super strong, right? So if I maybe have low self-esteem, when I am in this imaginary place, I imagine myself as somebody who's having really high self-esteem. If I'm not a good athlete, I imagine myself being on the NBA or the NFL or whatever. I imagine myself in a place where it's not really real. Or if I'm sitting in class, I can be daydreaming about my future as a successful, you know, business person or a successful doctor, engineer, whatever it is. Again, ideas of thoughts and how I will live, and I'm still, you know, very far from realizing that dream. And oftentimes, too, in these imaginary places, you'll find that we're never really wrong. It's always the people around us are mistaken, right? It's always the other person, because again, it's my world. So my world means I can control everything. So if I'm controlling everything, then I can't be mistaken in this world. Others must be mistaken. So we can see, of course, the dangers of these kind of daydreams. The four types of intrusive thought are the thoughts of the pride of life, pride. A lot of times these have to do with the materialistic living. I keep thinking, for example, of what kind of car I'm going to drive, this really fancy supercar that I'm going to drive, and if I can only make enough money, this is what I'm going to get, and how I would look driving, and what would people say about me when I drive this, or living in this place, or this neighborhood, or this house, what would people say about me? So all of these kinds of thoughts of pride, or maybe if I'm a young lady, and I'm looking, you know, or I'm thinking about in the future who I'm going to marry, I'm going to marry this wealthy person so I can stay at home, and we can live this way. Again, all of these about the pride of life. Lastly, our last intrusive thought are the thoughts of anxiety, of the what-ifs, all of the different scenarios of how things can go wrong in my life. And I begin to think about them from our friendships, from relationships, from career, from your studies, everything. I'm anxious about everything. And oftentimes what you'll find is even, okay, if this particular thing that I was anxious about or the thought I was anxious about is solved, there's something else that comes up. So there's this perpetual cycle of being anxious about something, even if the things seem to be okay in my life. And this can be really consuming. So what are the dangers of these types of thoughts if we allow them to enter into our mind and allow them to take root? The first danger of these warfare is they all have small beginnings. Every major and big sin begins with a small thought. You remember when Cain killed Abel, his brother? It began by a small thought, saying, "What? How is it that God accepted his offering and my offering? Was his better than mine?" Again, started just from a little bit of envy, maybe a little bit of jealousy. And then it expanded into, "I will kill my brother with my hand," right? And there aren't many people living at the time, so he's killing his own kin and a lot of the population. Sometimes we'll get an idea where Satan will throw the idea in our mind and then tell you, why not? Why not? If I wonder, for example, if a certain person has feelings for me, I tell myself, oh, what if I say something to them? Or what if I do this? Again, this idea of why not? Go for it. Do it. In any case, in the last week we were speaking about faithfulness in marriage in the Adam and Eve meeting, and we spoke about a little about infidelity. Any type of infidelity, when does it begin? It begins with a thought. It begins with a thought, right? Another thing may be common among the young people are, okay, rage baiting, okay? I want to make the person next to me angry about something. So begin to do things to poke at them to make them angry, right? It all begins with a thought. I want to revenge them, or I think it's funny, so let me do these things. This kind of activity, it's actually satanic. It's satanic, because actually we become an employee of Satan when I do that. What's the purpose? The purpose is to get the other person to sin, to be angry, right? Is this not what, like, Satan did with Cain, to get him to be angry with his brother, to murder him, to kill him? Right? We don't want to go that far, but how do you know? How do you know what happens in the inside of a person whom you're trying to do this to, right? So again, if I do this kind of behavior, I'm an employee of Satan. Do I want to be an employee of Satan? No. The church teaches and the Bible teaches us to be those who disseminate light and salt to the world, not to disseminate hatred and anger. Another thought can come and say, you know what, you work hard for your money. Yeah, we work hard for our money. And then the thought would be like, tab farfish shwaya, just live life, okay? Tell your wife or your family you have a business thing and go somewhere and, you know, do some sinful things. You deserve the rest. You deserve the relaxation, right? Again, it begins with a simple thought. Small, big sins begin with small ideas and small thoughts. Number two, the second danger is that all of our thoughts are exposed before God. We spend a really, you know, a good amount of effort to make sure, like, the people around us don't know our sins, especially the sins of the thoughts or in the thought, in the mind. But God knows them, and everything is laid open before Him. There's nothing that's hidden from Him. He's the one who searches the depths of the heart and knows what the mind of man is. As we say in Psalm 50, David teaches us, "For I'm conscious of my iniquity, and my sin is at all times before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil before you." So every sin we commit, whether in thought or action, is laid open before God, right? Nothing is hidden from Him. Knowing that nothing is hidden from Him, again, this should make me more awake and more cautious about even my thoughts. The third danger is that these thoughts can eventually lead to action. If you think of it like a pressure cooker, those of us who've made, you know, wara inab before, I'm sorry, I know we're fasting, but imagine there's siyami wara inab, right? If you made these, they put them in the pressure cooker, and then it starts, you hear about the hissing sound, the pressure starts to build, and it starts to boil and cook, and then when they're ready, you hear the hissing, right? And then what happens, if you can't open the thing, because it'll explode. So you have to release the pressure, right? Sometimes the thought can act like a pressure cooker. It begins to churn and think and think, and if it's left unchecked, it will eventually lead to action, because that's the explosion. That's the explosion. So if we leave it unchecked, it will one day explode. You're upset with your wife or your husband, and it kind of day after day, and they have no idea, and they do something else, and you interpret it in a wrong way, and then one day, hope you just explode, because I didn't tame the thought from the very beginning, right? The last danger is the escalation of the thoughts. And we mentioned this in the four steps before, but let's take them a little bit, add a little bit more steps, and I'll just mention them, and I'll leave it for you guys to think about it. The first initial stage was the suggestion, and then you have, okay, the image. You can form an image and make the play in your mind. Then you have this fantasy. Then you have the fantasy, and it can lead to a certain desire. And then with intention and opportunity, then you have the action. And then when the action is repeated, you have a habit. And then when the habit, you know, continues, you have now, it becomes part of your identity. And then when it becomes part of your identity, this becomes part of pattern of your life, and this is who your character is. So you see, from one small thought can lead to a pattern or a character issue in one's life, all beginning from one simple thought. So how can we remedy these intrusive thoughts and this warfare in the mind? Number one is we have to rebuke the thoughts immediately. Rebuke them immediately. The Lord today, when He was tempted on the mountain, and Satan said, "Why don't you turn the stones into bread because you're hungry?" He immediately responded and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He didn't discuss. He says, "You know what? Maybe, you know, I am hungry, so what's wrong with having a little bread? You know, and I'm able to do it. I can certainly do it." There was no dialogue. There was no discussion, right? It was rebuke immediately. Would there be anything wrong with the Lord eating after He was hungry for 40 days? No. He eventually is going to eat, right? But what made this a sin is because Satan suggested it. So Satan sometimes can suggest something to you that seems to be right, but at the wrong time, and it makes it wrong, right? So simply because Satan suggested it, he rebuked it immediately with a verse, you know, from the Bible, right? He didn't allow this to churn within his mind. A lot of times, maybe we'll say, okay, but this is Lord Jesus, this is not us, right? But with us, how can we immediately rebuke the thought? Is by saying like the arrow prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, help me not think so evil about this person. I'm sure they have another, you know, a reason why maybe they said this to me or they looked at me like this. Or maybe, Lord, they don't even know. Or maybe they're going through something that's troubling them. So rebuke the thought immediately. Don't allow it to take root in your mind. And this is maybe also a good time, if you memorize any of the Psalms, to recite them. The purpose of reciting the psalm or memorizing the psalms is so we can recite them when we need them, right? So if you're praying, for example, in the Igbaya and you memorize some of the psalms, I challenge you to begin when you stand up in prayer at home to choose different psalms that you don't have memorized, right? And use and say the memorized ones while you're out and about, right? And as the Lord tells you when you need them. So the first thing is to rebuke the thoughts immediately. Number two is to fill the mind. A mind that cannot be empty. Our minds are always churning, right? If I just stopped talking for just a few seconds, our minds would go somewhere else immediately. To think about nothing is impossible for us, right? Or it's very difficult, right? Needs a lot of training. So keeping the mind empty is not good for us. It needs to be filled, and be filled with spiritual things. Remember in the beginning I told you, okay, if you have the lustful thoughts, it has Satan's inventory. How do we expel that inventory is filling it with other things, right? If you want, for example, to change it, like your house or something, you have to empty the old stuff to put in the new stuff, right? This is the same idea. If I want to take the lustful thoughts and stuff out of my mind and the judgment thoughts, I need to fill it with things that are good, whether it's prayer, reading of spiritual books, the Psalms, and so on. There must be an exchange. There's a verse that the Lord told us about the Holy Spirit. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Okay. We read this verse and say, okay, good. All I have to believe that I have the Holy Spirit and I got it in baptism and we're good. Okay. The Holy Spirit needs something to work with. It needs something to work with. Just like if I said, okay, we're going to have a project and I want you to build something. The first thing you're going to ask, okay, is what are you going to give me? Or if I say, I want you to cook something, you say, okay, what are my ingredients? If you don't have ingredients, can you cook anything? No, you need something. The Holy Spirit's the same. It can bring to your remembrance of something you know, or something you're exposed to, or something that's in your inventory. But if there's nothing there, hey, give him a name. Where is he going to get it from? Right? So we must fill the mind with things that are good and positive and healthy and spiritual. Then when the time is there, then he can recall this and bring it to our remembrance. And it's a beautiful thing when it does. And you'll see, really, God's activity in your life when you live and you're like, I don't even remember why I remember this now, but it's there in the bank. The third thing in which we can remedy these thoughts is the transplant method, and again I touched about it just now, is the replacement, right? Anybody that's doing some kind of transplant, we don't usually take out an organ without replacing it, right? So if you need a liver transplant, you don't want to just take out the liver because that's the problem. You need to take out the liver and put a healthy one back in order for your body to function. The same thing. It's not simply about stopping doing the bad things or stop thinking about the bad things. It's about adding the good things, adding the virtue, right? Training your thoughts to be righteous and holy thoughts. There's a story about Abu Mikhail Ibrahim at the end of his life when he was coming like in and out of consciousness. That when he wasn't conscious, the people around him were saying he was like saying the liturgy, saying the Psalms and parts of the Bible, because this is what it was in his bank. It was coming out and flowing naturally and nothing else. What would flow out, we can ask ourselves, what would flow out of me if I was unconscious? If I wasn't conscious and things were just coming, you know, out of me. We can replace many things. Like, for example, if there is lust, we can replace the lust or the thoughts of lust with the thought of the dangers of sin. Okay, what is the dangers of sin? Okay, this sin caused like David, Solomon, and Samson to suffer, right? So, okay, I have to expel this thought. If there are thoughts of judgment, I can remember my own weaknesses, right? If there are thoughts of pride, I can offer gratitude because I didn't get anything or I don't accomplish anything on my own. I have God's help and support, and I have the people around me who help me, so I can offer thanks. If there are thoughts of anxiety about a certain situation in my life, I can replace this with, you know what, God has helped me and so before. Why would today be any different? He helped my family and so. Why be any different, right? He died on the cross for me. He certainly loves me, so why won't he help me? Whatever happening, it must be from his will, right? So replace the negative and anxious thoughts with thoughts of faithfulness. The thoughts of daydreaming, we replace these with focusing on being presently obedient, being obedient to God in the present moment, taking these thoughts back to today rather than wherever I am. Lastly is to avoid the idle time. We can fight these intrusive thoughts by avoiding the idle time, the time in which we're doing nothing, or as the young people say, they're doom scrolling. They're just on their phone doing nothing, right? Avoid this kind. This excessive unstructured time is a recipe for disaster. As they say, an empty mind is what? Is the devil's playground. Is the devil's playground, okay? We don't want him to have a playground up here, okay? We want to always keep the mind occupied. And a good way is to develop a routine, a rhythm in your life, right? You have some of your day is for work or school, some is for studying, some is for service, some is for prayer, some is for physical activity, some is for social time, right? So there's a certain rhythm to one's life. Even if you're free, right? The day before you should be, okay, what's my rhythm tomorrow? What's my plan for tomorrow? It's not just left, okay, I wake up and then whatever happens, happens, right? This is the recipe for disaster. So plan to do things. There must be a purpose. St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our transformation happens slowly, day to day, with the renewing of the mind. As we engage in these mental battles and this warfare in the mind with the enemy and even with ourselves, we remember that this is so important because our life and death begins in the mind. Every big sin begins here in the mind. We need to rebuke the evil thoughts immediately. We need to fill them and have this replacement. Take out the old thoughts and not be exposed to them and put in the new and positive thoughts and to eliminate the time that we are idle. Our thoughts hold the key to our emotions, to our relationships, to our friendships, to our growth, and to our joy. Many things. May God grant us pure and holy thoughts and to struggle in this because it's all of our common struggle until our last breath. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.